Last one out, close the gate. There's YouTube video of the last American troops crossing the Iraqi border into Kuwait on Sunday, sliding a gate shut behind them. But it will take a lot more than that to close this painful chapter in U.S. history. Andrew Bacevich served in Vietnam. He says the war marks the end of America's great expectations, that the war in Iraq didn't really show the power of the U.S. as its architects had hoped. It showed the limits. Andrew Bacevich was one of the earliest and most consistent critics of the Iraq War, even before it took his son, First Lieutenant Andrew Bacevich, Jr. We want to ask him what now that the last American troops have left. Professor Bacevich's op-ed on this appears in the Washington Post. We'll post it at hereandnow.org as he joins us in the studios. Professor Bacevich, Andy, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you very much.
And you remind us in your writing of, you know, how in the 90s the Soviet Union collapsed, America was on the rise. It was seen that democracy and American military might had won, and not only that, globalization was unleashed, but then comes 9/11, and a couple years later, the Iraq War. We've been hearing the past week on the anniversary, you know, all the debates regurgitated. There were no weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11, but you say it was never really even about that.
Well, I think the reference point for trying to understand the significance of this war ought to be the end of the Cold War, which now has already sort of faded into the past.
History, yeah.
And it's important for us to remember the sense of expectations that the end of the Cold War produced in this country, a sense that was especially pronounced in Washington, a real sense that history had made a turn. History had rendered a verdict. The future was going to be an American future. Our way was going to be the world's way. I mean, I'm overstating it a little bit for effect, but frankly, only a little bit.
Well, you're not overstating it by much. You quote then-President Clinton talking about the world's greatest democracy, the U.S., Newt Gingrich saying, no country has ever had the potential to lead the entire human race the way America does today.
It's in that context that we should understand the impact of 9/11, again, especially in Washington, because that wasn't supposed to happen, given the prevailing sense of expectations about the direction history was moving in. So although it certainly is true in a narrow sense that the purpose of the global war on terror was to prevent a recurrence of another terrorist attack, I think in a much broader sense, the purpose of the global war on terror was to demonstrate that 9/11 was a one-off event, that history still was going in the direction that the end of the Cold War had suggested. And therefore, in that sense, what we have commonly called a global war on terrorism in some respects needs to be seen as an American war for global preeminence. And if you think of the Iraq invasion as the centerpiece of a strategy intended to demonstrate that history was going our way, there we see the true significance of our failure. There's a tendency, I think, to want to disguise that failure by creating a new narrative of the Iraq War centered on the surge. You know, that before the surge of 2007, everything was really going to hell in a handbasket.
If we only had more troops, right.
Yeah. After the surge, things got substantially better on the ground. But whatever success can be claimed for the surge, we cannot suggest that those expectations that were so commonly expressed back in the 1990s have now been revalidated. The world is not going in our direction. I think it's time for Americans to realize that if history has a direction, we don't know what it is.
Well, and not only that, we don't control it. I mean, it would seem that it's the worst time in history to proclaim that it's going to be one country's military might that's going to be the most important thing. As we watch the Arab Spring, you know, people rising up on their own, as we see that it's turned from, you know, by and large, from numbers of troops and military might to a more focused warfare.
I think you're exactly right. I mean, the whole notion of strategy is that a handful of smart people in a room can figure out the big picture and can somehow deploy power in order to determine an outcome. And what we've been reminded again and again and again in the last 10 years, and frankly, I think the death of Kim Jong-il and the unsettling circumstances in North Korea are yet another example. What we've been taught again and again is that The future is utterly unpredictable. We are repeatedly caught by surprise. I'm just about reaching the point where I'm persuaded that strategy doesn't exist. It's a figment of imagination. That the best we can do, and I say we as a nation, our political leaders, is to cope, to try to be agile enough that when the next surprise comes down the pike, we can at least cushion or minimize the negative impact.
Andrew Bacevich, you have been very clear over the past decade that you want to keep your professional and your personal separate. So I'm just going to ask you as this last brief question. How are you doing, you know, on this anniversary, given that you lost a son? Your eyebrows just shot up like that.
Well, this is something that as a matter of practice, I just choose not to talk about. But I would simply say that in that regard, the end of the war is of absolutely no consequence to me. Hmm. We mourned our son when the war was going on. We will mourn our son now that the war is past. And it's really of no consequence in that sense.
Yeah. But at the time he died in 2007, you questioned the value of your criticism, which, as we said, came before the war was even launched, you know, because it just didn't seem to be making a difference. How do you continue on with that?
That was a particularly emotional moment in my life, in my family's life. And I did write something at the time, felt the need to do so. But I do think that for anybody who wishes to try to make a contribution to understanding events, understanding history, I think it's very important to try to create a space between your analysis and the things that affect you intimately and personally. To the extent that personal considerations inform your effort at understanding, then I think that's not helpful. Things need to be kept in separate compartments to the extent that that's possible. And of course, I acknowledge that it's not entirely possible.
Yeah. Andrew Bacevich, professor of history and international relations at Boston University. His latest book is Washington Rules, America's Path to Permanent War. We also mentioned this weekend's op-ed in the Washington Post. We'll post that at hereandnow.org. Professor Bacevich, Andrew, thanks as always.
Thank you very much.